All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis, the one, the only, the original, unofficial, official Oasis Podcast. That's right. Yeah, let's just address that for a moment. The official Oasis account on Twitter and the official Oasis people, who is basically Ignition Management, have put out an Oasis podcast called Listen Up, the Oasis Podcast. There's been one episode so far, and there's another three to come. Not really a podcast, it's more of like a four-part documentary series, but yeah, that is the official Oasis podcast. It's been really lovely, actually, because I've had loads and loads of messages of support from people saying, no, yours is the real Oasis podcast and stuff, and that's absolutely brilliant. I do really appreciate that. And it's cool. It's all fine. Like, people have been like, oh, are you gutted? Are you annoyed? No, like, you know, I always knew that they would surely were going to do a proper Oasis podcast at some point, an official one. And so look, what they've put together is actually a very, very cool documentary. I've heard the first episode that we've had so far, and it's fine. It's like a documentary, basically. It's like lots of little clips, a few people that I've spoke to, like Anjali Dutt, a few people I haven't spoke to, like Clint Boone, all chopped up. And that's fine if you like that sort of thing. That's cool. If you want to have a deep dive and a proper listen of a proper podcast with like good long interviews where we really get into it, then obviously the Oasis podcast is the place to be. But anyway, that's all good. A rising tide lifts all ships. And so, which I think I might say to someone else later in this episode. But it's been a bit of a whirlwind kind of week or so this week. I've done this episode is going to be a mixture of sort of three different interviews, really. First off, we're going to hear from our good friend Sam Shiner, who, as I talk about in the interview, featured on the BBC website this week about the whole definitely maybe turning 25 thing. So yes, we talked to Sam. We also talked to Sam about her upcoming show in Coventry on Saturday the 7th of September. So if you can get up there and go and see all the really great new bands that she's supporting and promoting, that'd be fantastic. Or if you're a bit further south and you want to come and see me live talking to Alan McGee, plus also hear some great new music from a band called The Barretts from Northampton, then come along to the Arlington Arts Centre just outside Newbury. And that's the first of a number of plugs for that show you will hear in this episode. So yes, we're going to hear from Sam. We're also going to hear me on the Britpop Revival show, the full interview I did with them, which is good. And also I'm going to be dropping in a little bit of a much longer interview that you'll be able to hear the full version on my Patreon page very shortly, with the Remember the First Time pod, Mark from that team. So they've put a few minutes, about 10-15 minutes of me on their podcast. I'm going to put another clip on here, and then the full interview will be on Patreon, so you can go and check that out. So yeah, so that's what it's all about today. It's definitely maybe a turn 25. It's been 10 years since the Oasis split. Yeah, so it's like a week of anniversaries and stuff, really. But anyway, without any further ado, let's go over to me talking to Sam Shiner. Sam Shiner, welcome to the Oasis podcast.
Hello. Hi, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You know what? Until the other day when you became a massive BBC star, I assumed that Sam Shiner was like a cool kind of Twitter name, because like Shine is like a big Oasis-y thing, and no, it's your actual name.
It's my actual name, yeah, but it does, it works fine with Oasis.
It does.
I always think if Liam hadn't met Debbie and we got married, they were like, would you take Sam Shiner? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
That would have worked well. Oh, well, you never know. You could be third time lucky.
yeah, unfortunately, thanks, Dad. That's my real name.
That is a good name. But yeah, so that was really cool. So yeah, you were on the BBC website, like on the proper front page, your photo, and like it's mad. Tell us how that came about.
I did a tweet in the morning, obviously celebrating the 20th anniversary of the album, and I just did the hashtag Definitely Maybe, and then I think it was BBC Northwest had just did a tweet saying we'd love you to be a part of our feature that we're doing. So I was like, yeah, definitely, count me in. And then this dude messaged me, Chris. Hi, Chris, legend. And he just said, oh, can I give you a quick phone call and just ask like what the album means to you and what you think it means to music? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And then he said, have you got a photo of yourself holding Definitely Maybe? And I said, I can go one better. I said, give me 5 minutes. I said, go and put my Oasis t-shirt on. I'll go and stand in front of all my Oasis posters and take a photo. And the next thing I know, I get a message from my dad saying, you're on the BBC News website. So I was like, what? Mental. Yeah, brilliant.
That is crazy, isn't it? It's fantastic. I'm really pleased that they, you know, that you got picked to do that, though, because, you know, not only do you represent, like, for Oasis and other indie music online in a really big way, which is fantastic, but another thing that I think is excellent and I think you need to be really commended for as well is you're trying to do something new and interesting and promoting new music as well, which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's a big thing of mine, big passion. So yeah, I think probably the last 4 or 5 years I've got really into promoting new music and listening to it. Is this where I do my gig bit?
Yeah, plug away.
Just like go straight in there.
Go on.
So I do. I love listening to music and promoting new artists. I think it's quite good. Like having so many followers, it's nice to give them a good platform so I can retweet things for them. So I'm doing this night on Saturday next week, so 6 days' time. Terrified. Hosting a night in Coventry with 5 amazing unsigned acts. They're all absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great night.
No, it's going to be fantastic. So are you actually going to like get up on stage and introduce them and stuff?
Yeah, so I'm hosting it as well.
That'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I've never done this before, so I've been practicing.
Have you?
Yeah, the kind of hairspray in the mirror.
Hello, Coventry!
Literally, that's what I've been doing. Hello, Coventry! They're going to be sick of me at the end of the night. You're like, oh, not hell again.
Christ. It's not quite Hello, Wembley, but it's close. It's along those lines.
Yeah, no. It'll be good fun. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a really good night.
No, but and I'll tell you what as well, like the bands that you've got as well is basically like all the most exciting like upcoming bands in the country right now. Like it's just that if you could pick, you know, if anyone goes through like whenever I hear about new music, it's the same things. It's Latham's, it's Callow Youth, and it's like you've got them all.
I'm so lucky. I've been so lucky to get them all. But yeah, it's not the Latham's, it's the Larvins apparently.
Oh, is
so
it?
I've been practicing that, ready for the night. Yeah,
oops, fair
the Larvins. But yeah, the Larvins, Callow Youth, City Lights, or Roadside, and White Flag Dares, the other band. They're all absolutely amazing. But yeah, they've got a huge buzz at the moment.
I am made of stone, and it feels as though I'm lost in the catacombs. I've got nowhere to go. Should I seek refuge in the nearest hostel home? And they could call it the great escape of the world. And I don't need diamonds and pearls just to vanish off the face of the earth. Is there any life on Mars? Will I be arriving first? Will I be arriving first?
Rightly so, they're all absolutely absolutely fantastic. Mm. And they're going to be huge. So come and see them before they get too big.
Exactly. Well, I would love to, but I'm now I get my plug in because on Saturday, this Saturday the 7th, I'm going to be interviewing Alan McGee on stage down in Newbury. So if I wasn't doing that, I would have definitely got up there because I think what you're doing is fantastic. And you know, and like I think I said on Twitter the other day, I can see this being like a part of something really big, like a I was there moment, you know, for a lot of these bands that haven't had this, that huge amount of exposure yet, that are just starting to get pick up an online following, to actually be playing like a really good sized venue. And this could be like one of those gigs, like, you know, that
I think it will be.
Yeah,
that history in the making.
Exactly. No, but I'm serious. And I think
the Alan McGee thing will be good though as well. That'd be great.
Well, yeah, that's going to be good. And the other cool thing with Alan as well is he is also promoting new bands with the evening with. So a band called the Barretts are playing at this one in Newbury, and then the next one I'm doing is in October, and that's with an Irish band called The Clockworks that have been on Soccer AM. So it's great because, you know, I love like what Star Shapes do, for instance, which is absolutely brilliant. It's great, but it's all just nostalgia. It's not like promoting new music. True. So it's really good to have the nostalgia and have like, you know, the tribute bands and things like that, or actually getting out the actual guys from the older bands. But it's really good to promote this new music as well.
Lights out in London, bells cease in bar. Saying that the way we are, we should stay inside, but we just kick them and laugh. Gate shut in Glasgow, blood hanged in hole. Saying that the way we are, we should stay inside, but we're too dull. It's hereditary, but what could we know about that? Some distinguished old.
There's so much new music about. I think people feel a bit bombarded and a bit kind of like they don't know where to start. So you kind of just listen to your old favourites.
Mm.
But I think if you do go out there and you do make an effort to listen, you'll be absolutely amazed at what is out there. Like, it blows my mind sometimes. You hear something in the charts and then there's this little band that have got like 10 followers on Spotify, but their music absolutely blows out the water. So it's worth doing it. And I did put a new music playlist together. I asked everyone for recommendations and then put a couple of songs in each, but some of the stuff is just unreal, absolutely amazing.
No, that's fantastic. Well, and I think that the issue is that we haven't had a new genre of music in like ages, like a new, obviously we had Britpop, and before that there was like punk and grunge and things. I'm thinking that we should call this Shine Pop in honor of you. What do you reckon?
Shine Pop. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know about that. Shine Pop.
So there you go.
Work. Come to a revolution from my bed.
Exactly.
Which is why I'm
exactly.
Funny enough.
That is the one. That is the one. Right. Well, anyway, let's just pick up on the definitely maybe thing then as well. So I know from the article, you're a little bit younger than me and some of the other Oasis fans. So it was definitely maybe kind of hit you. Well, you it was. Well, you tell the story.
Yeah, I would have been about 6 and a half when it first came out. So yeah, I was very young, so I can't really remember too much about it. I always remember just being a kid though, like growing up. We did spend a lot of time in pubs. My mum and dad loved to go to the pub, so I could always remember being in the back room with the Panda Pop. It was just Oasis everywhere. It was always Oasis. My dad loved Oasis. So yeah, I think it was only when I was a teenager and I proper got into music. You know when you hear like an album and that's it then, your whole life is music. Everyone has that one album. So yeah, definitely maybe. It is the pinnacle, I think.
So was that one album was that the one album for you that really did make a big difference?
Do you know what? Yeah, it would have been that one, and also Libertines at the Bracket.
Okay.
That was also my turning point, where I was literally obsessed with, I'd buy The Enemy every week, cut out all pictures of all the bands and stuff, read all the articles all over my wall, that was it.
So I suppose you're pretty much the last kind of, the last hurrah of that, of people actually buying CDs and buying, like, the new, The Enemy. It wasn't long after that it died, really.
Yeah. That's it. And it was great when music was so tangible like that as well. You'd literally go to HMV or go to Shop and Buy Your Enemy. Mm. It's quite sad in a way that those days have gone. I still buy CDs though.
Mm.
Always buy CDs.
Yeah.
Got a massive CD collection. Last of generation.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's mad to think that, really. But you never know. I think, you know, what I know that with Liam and Noel's new stuff, what tends to be the big thing now is vinyl. So, you know, so they, you can buy the CDs, but really it's, you know, most people stream or download, and then they'll also then put out these things on vinyl. And obviously, you know, with it being that much more expensive, they can make that bit of a margin on it. And then it is like a nice collector's item, isn't it? Because you get these nice big sleeves and things. But I think there's a place for the old three or four track CD single. I wish that when Liam came back with As You Were, he'd done like four singles with, like, you know, three B-sides on each in the old-fashioned kind of Oasis way.
Yeah,
I think it would have been great.
Exactly, like Definitely Maybe was.
Exactly, and then give them
amazing,
a cigarette, and then have a cigarette case to keep them in.
I've been trying to look for the original release of Cigarettes and Alcohol, because it comes in a little, the cassette came in a little cigarette packet, didn't it?
Yeah.
I've been searching on Google for it, trying to find one. I'm desperate for one. If anyone has one, I'll pay you nice money for it. I got my vinyl through yesterday, the Definitely Maybe special edition.
Did you?
Yeah. Didn't come in a cardboard sleeve, though. I was slightly disappointed.
What, is it just like a plastic sleeve with the...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Oh, that's a bit annoying.
A little bit annoying, but I've got it, so, yeah.
See, I'm not...
kind of place like that. I do vinyl as well. That's why I'm always skint.
See, I'm not
vinyl,
really...
CDs, band T-shirts, gigs.
See, I'm not really a big collector, so it's not like... When they came out with that, I was like, okay, cool, you know, but doesn't really bother me, that sort of thing. I'd much rather... You know, here's an unreleased version of a song that we've, you know, or something like that. That would have been the bigger one for me. But no, we haven't had it. They've just sort of knocked out the album again to get a bit more money out of people.
I know, and I'm surprised Noel didn't really say anything about it. But I just love Twitter. On what day was it? Friday?
Yeah. Oh, it was crazy.
Or Thursday. It was great, wasn't it? It was just Oasis all over again. It's just mad how, like, 25 years later, they can still have such a profound effect on everybody. It's mad.
No, it is. It is absolutely brilliant. Good. Well, I'll tell you what, Sam, if people want to come on down to Coventry Empire on Saturday, what's the plan? Where do you get tickets from? Tell me about it.
You can come and follow me, shineup_Sam, and there's a ticket link, or go on the Empire Coventry's website. We have moved rooms, so there will be tickets available on the door if you want to come down on the night. So, yeah, if you want to leave to the last minute, that's fine. Just come along. As long as you're there.
Support new music and support Sam, because, you know, this is what it's about. And it's all very good and easy to sort of sit there on Twitter and Oasis forums and chat about, like, the old days, but... Do something to benefit, you know, the next Oasis, which one of these guys could definitely be the next Oasis. So
you can do both. Love Oasis and love new bands as well. We've got plenty of time.
Brilliant. Sam, thank you so much for your time, mate. Much appreciated.
No, thank you so much. You're a star.
No worries. And really good luck for Saturday. All right.
Love. Cool. Thank you.
So thank you very much to Sam for her time this afternoon. And if you're not coming to my show, Arlington Arts Centre in Newbury on Saturday, September the 7th, then get yourself up to Coventry Empire incredible lineup of young bands, support new music, support Sam, who's, you know, got a bit of a Twitter following, sort of about 26,000 or something like that. And yeah, she could just sort of do nothing with it, or actually could try and promote new music with it. So I think we should all commend Sam for what she's doing. And yeah, head on down there if you can. Go and check out some new music. And in the future, when people look back on that gig as the birth of Shine Pop, you can say you were there. There we go. Right, let's cross over now to an interview I did with the Britpop Revival show, where we talk about Definitely Maybe and other random things. I think I kind of forgot I was on the radio at one point and just started burbling on. So apologies for that. But anyway, we'll cross over now to Phonic FM.
Columbia there by Oasis, and even I know that was the there's a white label demo of that sent out to stations before the original releases. But of course, we've got someone who knows much more about all these kind of things. It is James from the Oasis podcast. Hello, James.
Hello, Nick. How you doing, man?
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for joining us again. Always a pleasure having you on the show. Can you believe we're here already? 25 years since the release of Definitely Maybe.
Yeah, it's a bizarre one, really, because when you think about 25 years, as in what albums were coming out in 1994, you know, when like I was 14, you think, well, then you're going back to kind of, you know, what the what's 94 take away 25? It's a bit late to do maths, but anyway, you know, it's such a big generational
69.
Jump. You know what I mean? it's a huge generational jump in time, and it just feels like. It is a landmark, you know, the 25 years is what counts for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, which Oasis could have been inducted to this year, but they weren't for possible reasons that we can comment on. But yeah, so it's 25 years is crazy. And then the other one that we've got today is the 10th anniversary of them splitting up in Paris, which is quite funny that you've got the 25th of the album and the 10th of that.
Yeah, I know. I noticed a few tweets about that online, and you know, it's strange in a way because that 10 years has gone quite quickly. Yeah, but 25 feels just such a different order of magnitude from what we've seen before. So obviously, lots going on in the kind of the online Oasis community about this. Lots of people remembering it. Why do you think this album in particular had such an impact on people?
Well, it's an interesting one because at the time, I mean, it was an absolute phenomenon, but it was then overshadowed by the next one, Morning Glory, that then became a global phenomenon. You know, up to this point, you know, it sold millions of copies, but you know, it didn't have that unbelievable breakthrough, you know, into the mainstream of the Wonderwall, Don't Look Back in Anger, Champagne Supernova, and it becoming a complete global thing. You know, so it's funny because you've always got that kind of that separation. If it wasn't for Morning Glory, if they had split up after Definitely Maybe, we would still be looking back on it as an absolute landmark album. But most people that lived through it, it was the early cool one. You know what I mean? And if you got into them, I mean, I was a little bit later coming into it. It was kind of later in 94. You know, I'm 14 years old at that point that I kind of I sort of discovered the band and sort of, you know, picked up on it later. And then by the time we come through to, some might say, coming out in March, that's when, you know, I really went full blast into the band. But it was definitely a phenomenon at that time, and obviously it tied in with all the Britpop stuff that was coming out. But I think it's very different from what we sort of see as Britpop now, which is the sort of the quirkier, jauntier, you know, your Blur, Pulp, which is a bit more witty and a bit more, you know, fun, like Divine Comedy and My Life Story, you know, even Sleeper and Menswear. I think of that as being more Britpop, whereas Oasis was a bit different. You know, it was a bit heavier, more guitar driven, and you know, and it was a bit more classic and sort of timeless, as those as those other a lot of those other bands that do sound a lot more like Britpop bands, I think. So I think it was that combination of riding that wave of this exciting new bands of the time, but also having that kind of classic rock sound, so that, you know, it wasn't just your indie kids, you know, in eyeliner listening to it. It was kind of, you know, everyone.
Yeah, it certainly did have that quality to it. And I think that you're right about the different sound. And I think lots of people have kind of mentioned that Britpop was more of a moment in time than a specific genre of music, because you couldn't put Oasis and the Divine Comedy in the same kind of, you know, musical category, really. But I wonder if part of the reason why this album is so... people are so attached to it, and I would suggest maybe more attached to it than Morning Glory, is because the fans who were there right at the start, for whom this became their band, saw them through those early singles, and the greatest success that came later, kind of once it got into the mainstream, well, you know, they were still your band, but everybody listened to them then. It wasn't quite as special as seeing them breakthrough and kind of thinking it was part of you that was breaking through as well. Do you think there's a bit of that to it?
Yeah, I agree, definitely. And also the fact that the sound changed as well. So, you know, once you get into even whatever at the end of 1994, then suddenly there's strings, you know, and you think, oh, okay, Oasis have sort of changed the sound, because, you know, they were breaking away. When you actually, you know, and it's great listening to the album in full, like you're playing today, because when you think about it, it's very, very stripped down. You know, what is there really? It is just the guitars. Really, there's a few little bits of piano here and there, like on Dixie's Dinner and things, and Married with Children is sort of this, you know, funny, like acoustic-y sort of song at the end, which is a bit, sort of bit of a lightness after, you know, this epic beast that is Slide Away. But, you know, it is very stripped down. It's a real rock and roll kind of basic kind of production album, and it's then when you get into Morning Glory, it's so much more expansive, and there's much more you know, there's like Cast No Shadow, which is very acoustic-y, and Don't Look Back in Anger, which is very epic, Champagne Supernova. It then sort of steps away from that tight kind of group sound, and so I think a lot of people, if you really loved Oasis for that, you know, full-on throttle, you know, Liam singing every song, except, you know, obviously, if you've got the vinyl, there's Sad Song on there, which is Noel. But, you know, the album itself is all Liam, all guitars, all the way through. And so it was a very singular vision. Whereas then by the time you get to the next albums, Noel is coming in more. Even this album, you can't really hear Noel's backing vocals very much. You know, they're there in a few tracks, but not really. And it's then that the sort of Noel's influence really comes a lot stronger in the later albums. And I think a lot of people, yeah, it was their band, it was their exciting thing at the time. And, you know, maybe were then a little bit put off when it became everyone's band, and, you know, and they're being parodied on TV and it just became the big thing. You know, and you've got that classic kind of indie kid thing of, oh, I prefer the earlier stuff.
Always.
When they got famous. Yeah.
Well, it's really interesting what you say about Noel's vocals on this, because I've never thought about that before.
Possibly because all the B-sides, hi James, Rich here, Stato.
Hello.
So the B-sides were so epic on that first album, and they're probably epic on the second album as well, but specifically on that first album, the singles were incredible, and I think Noel had quite a few vocals on those, in my mind it probably makes me forget that he actually hasn't got any on the main bit.
Yeah, that's right. And when you look at, I mean, an episode we did a few months ago now was like a Definitely Maybe Reassembled. And I sort of asked, I asked people online, you know, if you could be there with McGee and Noel back in like 1994 reassembling this album, would you have made changes? Because there's so many songs that were available at that time. You know, you've got Sad Song, I Will Believe, Take Me Away, Alive, Do You Want to Be a Spaceman, Cloudburst, Fade Away, Listen Up, I'm the Walrus. You know, whatever was available, it had been written in like 1991. All Around the World was available, it had been written in like 91, 92. It's Good to Be Free, Half the World Away. So there is an album's worth of stuff that could have been picked. That's madness, you know, isn't it? When you just reeling them off like that. That was off the top of my head, by the way.
What I was laughing at was thinking back to me saying at the top of the show, a man who knows more about Oasis than Oasis do. And,
well, I heard that. Like, the thing is, most people in the country know more about Oasis than Oasis do because they were drunk the whole time. So, you know, and it's funny, when I interviewed Tony, like, you know, I said, oh, what happened, you know, like, for instance, I'm the Walrus, right? One of our good friends is a chap called Brian Garcia, who's this Oasis collector in Texas. He's under Oasis DNA on the internet, and he has got an unbelievable collection of stuff. One of the things he's got is the original studio recording of I'm the Walrus. It's never been released. The only thing we've ever heard is a live version. Tony McCarroll swears it doesn't exist. He can't remember playing on it. But Brian's got it. You know what I mean? So he goes, no, why would we have done that? It's like, well, you have, because Brian's got it. So, yeah, if you were there, then, you know, what was it? If you remember it, you weren't there.
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic. But listen, so obviously we've talked about Definitely Maybe. I want to talk just a little bit about your podcast, the Oasis podcast, because if people like kind of really getting into the weeds on this and getting to the level of detail that that the casual listener just won't get to, your show is the place to go. So assume that there is somebody out there. I can't imagine who that person would be, but imagine there's somebody that's never heard of the Oasis podcast. Tell them what it is.
Well, I call it the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. And what it is basically, it's become more of a news show because Liam and Noel have both had sort of records out for the last couple of years, ever since I've been doing it. So it tends to be news. So, you know, last week we were talking about Noel's new video for his latest single, and we were talking about the new Liam song, One of Us. And so we'll be covering the general news as and when it comes up. Plus, you know, I really try and engage with the community as much as we can. So we get people to send in, you know, if they've gone to see them, they'll send in gig reviews, or we do Oasis song breakdowns. And then the main thing is most episodes have an interview with someone that are in some way connected to Oasis. So either they were, you know, like inspired by the band, or a friend with the band, like the boxer Ricky Hatton. I had him on recently, which was massive for me. Or then people like The Biggin, you know, who was the guy that originally introduced Liam to Bonehead and got him the audition in the band. You know, so it's from fans, people that were involved. You know, I want to speak to anyone that was part of that story. And just to sort of say, there's a new podcast series that's been announced by Oasis, like the official Oasis people, you know, Ignition Management still in the background managing them, which was really cool because, you know, there's going to be an official Oasis podcast, because I'm not official, although I've kind of stole the name, which is a bit cheeky. But anyway, there is going to be one, a four-part kind of documentary coming out. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's going to be really good for, like, the casual fans. You know, that will be the official thing. But then if you actually want to dig deeper and sort of, you know, really get into it and really understand, you know, all the different people, all the different aspects, hearing from, you know, the people that played with them or were inspired by them. So then come and find us.
So there's a four-part official documentary for The Lightweights.
Or 92 episodes so far of the Oasis.
92 episodes of the Oasis podcast for the real fans. And, exactly. And these are not 20-minute podcasts, are they, James? These are a good, what, hour, 2 hours sometimes?
Yeah, I average out an hour to an hour and a half. It really depends on what we've got. I mean, I'm very, you know, the beauty about podcasts is it's not like you guys in proper radio world where you have to fill like a two-hour show. You know, although I'm not allowed to use full tracks, so that does mean there's a lot more talking. But yeah, so interviews tend to be about an hour, and then you tend to fill out with, I like about an hour and a half, because I think most people's commute is about 40 minutes to an hour. And then so if basically on a Monday morning you notice there's a new Oasis podcast there, it'll cover your commute back and forth. I've got you covered.
Okay, that is brilliant. And you've done a couple of live events as well with Tony McCowell. I wasn't able to get to the one at the Water Rats. Have you got any more coming up?
Yeah, so it's quite cool. That's been a real wonderful sort of additional thing that I never thought would come out of this, but it has. So yeah, the thing with Tony was absolutely amazing, and he played the drums on stage, which was incredible. First time he played the drums in about 25 years, and you spoke to him last week about the fact that he did it again, but this time with an actual tribute band, and he played the full song rather with me, just did a little bit. But yeah, so the next thing I've got coming up is I've got two shows with Alan McGee, the sort of An Evening with Alan McGee that's been going around the country. I've sort of jumped in to host a couple of them. So on September the 7th, I'm in Arlington Arts Centre in Newbury, which is going to be really nice. It's a lovely little venue and sort of quite an intimate thing. So if you want to come on and definitely be able to get your question answered by Alan McGee, then that is ideal. Then we've got October 11th, we're back at the Water Rats. That's with Alan again, which is going to be a mad night. I want to also just say both of these have got great young band supporting. So the Newbury one is a band called The Barretts, who are a really good young band. And then the Water Rats is The Clockworks, who are, you know, a fantastic band that have featured on Soccer AM recently as well. So both really good bands. And then 1st of November, a big one with Tony McCarroll again. That's going to be at a place called Stereo in Glasgow. And that holds about 350. So we're really going to look to sell that out. And that is going to be an absolutely insane night. And that's with an Oasis tribute band called Columbia. So that's going to be incredible.
Okay. Well, listen, James, thank you so much for coming on the show. Telling us, you know, as always, details that we didn't know them. And keep up the good work with the Oasis podcast. I do strongly recommend anybody who likes the band to delve into that. We're going to carry on with side two of the album now. Oh, so here's a quick question for you. Obviously, not sides on a CD, but on the vinyl release, as you mentioned, Sad Song was on there. Do you consider it part of Definitely Maybe?
No, I don't.
Good. Neither do I.
Yeah, well, I think because the prime, I always think of, like, what was the prime release that most people would have listened to? And in 1994, it was CD. You know, probably CD 70%, cassette maybe 20%, and vinyl, you know, what's that, 10% or whatever. So, well, probably only 2% of the time.
Yeah.
So no. The album itself is the 11 tracks ending with Slide Away to me. Yeah,
oh, that's good, because we've not got Sad Song in our playthrough today. So
yeah. You don't want to depress people too much. It's a bit of a sad song.
Okay. So
but, yeah,
we're gonna go into Supersonic now. But would you like to introduce it, James?
Yeah. Okay. So featuring our good friend Tony McCarroll on drums, this is Oasis debut single, Supersonic.
So thank you very much to Nick for having me on. Greatly appreciated. And yeah, make sure you're checking out the Britpop Revival show Wednesdays, Phonic FM, which is in the Exeter region, or you can listen to it online wherever you are in the world. If you check out at Britpop Revival on Twitter, then you can get all the links and everything there. But it's a really, really good show. I've been in it a few times now. A friend of the show, Mild Mannered Max, has also been on a few times. And that reminds me, we've had the Star-Shaped Festival. First edition of that has just come up this week in Manchester. And yeah, by all accounts, it went really well. They've had an incredible lineup there of Dodgy and Geneva and Space and a few others. So yeah, really good lineup. And Mild Mannered Max was there. So if you follow his blog, which is, I think, what, themildmanneredarmy.com, then you can get all the sort of his review of that. And he's done a few other pieces on the blog recently. Definitely worth checking out. He's a really, really, really great writer. Okay, so last week I dropped a little bit of the interview that I did with Mark from Do You Remember the First Time In, where we talked about One of Us and we talked about Champagne Supernova. Also in the interview, we ended up chatting for quite a while. The whole interview is going to be available on my Patreon shortly, but we also did touch on Definitely Maybe. Now, some of that has gone into their most recent episode, but not all of it, only about sort of 10 minutes or so. So I thought I'd drop another little chunk of that here for those of you that aren't on the Patreon, so you can get a feel for that. And if you want to hear the rest of it, then you can head over to patreon.com/oasispod, give me some money and listen to the rest. So back over to me on the Remember the First Time pod. Do you remember the first time? I can't remember the
Definitely, maybe then. Obviously, we're coming up to now 25 years since the release, hence our feature of it on the Do Remember the First Time podcast. You say Oasis were a big band for you growing up. Can you remember discovering Definitely Maybe?
Yeah, so the first time I heard Oasis, it would have been on the chart show, Channel 4, Saturday morning. And I'm not even sure which song it would have been. It's either like Shaker Maker or Live Forever, I imagine, because I can distinctly remember one of those sort of style videos, like in just being shot with them sort of wandering around. And at the time, I wasn't really into sort of indie in that way. I was more into like sort of slightly heavier stuff. Like my biggest albums of 1994 were probably like Dookie by Green Day and Smash by Offspring and stuff like that. That was and like the Prodigy. I loved the Prodigy. So Jilted Generation was massive for me when I was 14, right? So I was 14 in May.
What an album 94. That is!
Oh, it's amazing. It sounds like the future, even like 25 years later. But so that was really where my head was at. And there was a lot of those style bands around, like the Charlatans and like In Spiral Carpets. And when it would come up on the chart show, the indie chart, I'd normally be like, oh, indie chart. You know, I wanted to see the rock chart or the dance chart or something. And so Oasis were just another one of those bands that had that kind of whiny sound, and they had that sort of Beatles-y haircut. And it was only then later in the year, I remember Cigarettes and Alcohol coming out and that being like, wow, that's a really cool tune. And then when Whatever came out at the end of the year, by that time, you know, I was pretty much full in. And a good mate of mine in school who had an older brother who was really into Britpop had made me a tape with Definitely Maybe on one side and all the B-sides to the singles on the other side. And that tape, fantastic, I just wore out and I just listened to that all the time. So by the time we get to the end of 94... yeah, they're sort of my favourite band. I went and had my haircut changed to be like Liam's haircut, you know, like I was just, you know, talking in a Manc accent a little bit, all right, our kid and all that. So, yeah, it was a full conversion.
You mentioned before there, obviously, that What's the Story goes into a different sound. It's a completely different album. One of the big appeals for Definitely Maybe, I think at the time and now, is it's giving a voice to the working classes. Do you think... it was the first album to do this. A lot of people claim it's the first album to really give a voice to the working class as well. How much of an impact do you think that had on the rise of Oasis?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one, because Noel would always say, like, lyrics don't matter. It's not about the lyrics, you know, and I make them up in 5 minutes. I just nick stuff off TV adverts and things like that. But, you know, there are definite... there's definitely a message throughout that album of... wanting to do well, wanting to leave the town you're from, wanting to get out and about. You know, tonight I'm a rock and roll star, obviously. Then you've got things like, you know, you're the outcast, you're the underclass, but you don't care because you're living fast with Bring It On Down. And so it's not necessarily a political album like, you know, when you did the Mannix last week. You know, something like Generation Terrorist is very political, you know, and then obviously the Holy Bible and things. You've got... you know, they wouldn't be quoting, like, you know, philosophers and authors and stuff. Christ, no. But it was, there's definitely that feel of, and it's more in the sound and the music and the passion, and it's more in the attitude of them. And it was, I don't think it was more the music as much, but the whole package of, wow, here's these lads from Manchester, from, like, this council estate, who aren't trying to, you know, they're not trying to assimilate with London. They are going to do their own thing. And in a way that, you know, like the Roses had done it and the Charlatans had done it. But this is like, no, this is next level. This is taking it up to, like, you know, to be the biggest band in the country. And if you think about what was the prevalent things at the time, I mean, look at the Brit Awards, like 92, 93. It's all like Phil Collins, Annie Lennox. Like, it's all this stuff hanging over from the 70s and 80s. And then, you know, and then Oasis came in and it was just like an exciting new band. But, you know, something like, you know, Suede had bought that kind of working class, well, probably they're probably quite middle class, but, you know, they'd sort of bought that younger, more interesting attitude a couple of years before, similar with Pulp coming out of Sheffield. So I think generally around the country, it was just a time where a lot of new bands were forming and starting to bring their own kind of more interesting ideas of where they were coming from. But I think in Oasis it's difficult because the lyrics are
patchy at times, and you know, and it is a case of just picking out the odd line here and there, but it is more in the overall, you know, them as people and what they kind of represented, really.
So, as I said, if you want to hear a bit more of that, then head over to Patreon, where we dig into quite a few other subjects all in the Oasis world. And remember to check out the guys Do You Remember the First Time podcast. Right, so let's pick up on a couple of bits that you guys have sent in. So first off, we have a message here, continuing the theme of new music in today's episode. This is Grant Kilpatrick.
Hi James and everybody else listening to the Oasis podcast right now. My name's Grant Kilpatrick and I'm a singer-songwriter just based outside of Edinburgh in Scotland. Big fan of the podcast, I think it's absolutely amazing. Love how geeky it gets. Oasis are one of these bands that sometimes don't get the respect they deserve, so it's nice to see there's a full podcast devoted to them. So I'm 29 and my first memories of Oasis are probably seeing the All Around the World video on TV. So I would have been about 7 or 8, and I remember just thinking, oh, that's quite a cool looking video. And even then I was quite into the Beatles as well, so I was aware it was quite Beatles-esque and I found that quite cool. But to be honest, I was probably too young to get caught up in the hype of it all really at that time. Fast forward quite a few years and I remember hearing the Hindu Times on the radio while I was in high school. I just thought that was great. Really, really cool riff at the beginning of the track. But again, I didn't delve too much into the band for whatever reason. I was listening to a lot of different stuff at the time, as you do when you're in high school, whether that was like metal or hip-hop or whatever. I was aware of all the big singles, obviously, Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger and all that, but I just at that time, again, didn't delve into the band, didn't get involved with them for whatever reason. I think it's maybe to do with just being born slightly too late for the hype of it all, really. It wasn't until I got a chance to go see Noel on the Chasing Yesterday tour, I think it was, that it kind of occurred to me, I was like, do you know what, you should really go back and listen properly to Oasis and really try and get into it. And I'm so glad I did, because now I'm absolutely obsessed. Not really a traditional way to get into the band, but that's how I became a fan. So when it came to writing my track Tension, I wanted it to have a certain type of vibe. And a lot of that sound that I was liking was on Dig Out Your Soul, the last Oasis album, specifically Shock of the Lightning. So there's a little tip of the hat to Oasis in my track in regards to the drums and the sort of whole vibe of the song. I'm sure you'll pick up on it. So I hope you enjoy it. James, keep up the podcast. I think it's absolutely amazing. Long may it continue. And I hope you enjoy my track. Cheers.
What's that sound ringing in your head? The angels share when she last sat there so high. It's alright. Rest your head, sleep on this. Got a shot of sight. We'd all have missed. I'm so high. It's alright. But I'll follow where you go. Down every street you know.
Brilliant, Grant. Thank you very much. Really, really like that track and lovely story. Thank you very much for doing that. And if you are listening and you want to have your track featured on the Oasis podcast, then do what Grant did. Send me an audio message. That's what I tend to like to do, is have an audio message from you explaining what Oasis mean to you, how you got into them, how it's affected your music, and then fire over the track. And as long as it's decent and makes sense, then I'll probably play it. So Grant, thank you so much for doing that. Right, what else we got here? our good friend Amy over in America has been following Noel around. Not quite as bad as that Sandra, who seems to go to every single gig, but she's been to a couple. She's been to Atlanta. Let's see how the High Flying Birds are doing down there.
James, this is Amy, and I was going to send in another highly entertaining and informative and enlightening review after seeing Noel in Atlanta last week. So compared to the New York show that I saw earlier in the month, it was the same show. I believe it was the exact same set list. I don't really think anything was different. He did, however, know where he was. So, you know, big props to Noel for knowing where he was. And also, he was very chatty. And he had several things to say that were very amusing, such as that the next time he has another t-shirt line he needs to sell, he'll be sure to come back through. And also, he said that he doesn't like to play old stuff because the old stuff is quote-unquote, well, he said it was boring. I just never heard him use the word boring in reference to Oasis songs before. Somebody yelled out that his new stuff sucked, and he said, or that they hate his new stuff, and he said good that he was glad that they hated it. So to me, this is just like, you know, he's doing what he likes, he's doing what he wants to do, he doesn't really care so much what the fans are really interested in. My previous comment about him being so tiny, I think also part of it is not just his hair, but it was a lot bigger back then, but his clothes were so big back then, those big jackets and the big shirts, and you know, you couldn't really tell what he looked like. Also, he was a lot puffier at various stages of the 90s and the 2000s. He was a lot puffier, you know, a lot of drugs and stuff, alcohol. So obviously now he goes to the gym, works out or whatever. Sarah got those eyebrows under control, sent him to the gym, and he wears clothes that fit. So I mean, I think he looks really nice. He looks good. I never really thought he was all that good looking before. But he's very attractive now. Whereas also, funnily enough, I never really thought Liam was that good looking. I never really looked at them, you know, like, that's not why I liked Oasis. There was a lot of bands that I liked because somebody was cute. But, I always just liked Oasis because I loved the music. Not because I found them attractive or anything, but Liam was very nice looking back in the day, wasn't he? I don't expect anyone to answer that, but he was, trust me on this. anyway, but yeah, it was a great show, and it was up to Noel high standards that we usually get, but it was, again, it was the same show. Not complaining, just simply stating a fact. Let's see. Also, I am happy to report that I did not get shit on last Wednesday night by a bird or anyone or thing for that matter. So, you know, that is it's a top evening when you don't get shit on. And I guess that's really about all. It was a good show. I'm sad that their tour is winding down. I don't think anybody said anything about them coming back anytime soon. So I guess we'll just have to see what's next. I guess as far as Noel goes, the EP's next. And then, anyway, I'm giving you Oasis news like you don't already know this crap. Okay, I guess that's all. And thanks for listening to my reviews, or really what amounts to is several minutes of my commentary. And that is all I got. And you have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much, Amy. Brilliant review as ever. Greatly appreciated. And lots of different topics as well, not just what songs they played and all that sort of stuff, which is great. I'm pleased you didn't get shit on this time. Never pleasant to get High Flying Bird shit on you. It's never a good look, to be honest. It wasn't a particularly exciting gig, I don't believe. I think the most interesting thing to have happened at a Noel gig recently, we didn't really do any news at the start, so I sort of kind of do a little bit of news here. The Foo Fighters headlined Reading, and as they did so, they had a picture of Liam and Noel on the Taylor Hawkins drum kit, and Dave Grohl said that, you know, he's going to do a petition to get Oasis to get back together again. And so, yeah, so then Noel was on stage a couple of days later and came out with this.
Any Oasis fans in the house? Yeah. Fucking love that shit. Yeah? Yeah. Is anyone going to sign the petition Dave Grohl wants to get together, so get us back together? I'd like to start a petition to get the Foo Fighters to split up. If that would be at all possible, if anybody could go to the merchandise store, I think there's a petition right there. He's next to her for fucking Uncle Dave.
One other bit of Noel news. If you remember last year, a video was released for If Love Is the Law, and it came up like part three or chapter three of seven chapters of the Stranded on the Earth film. And we all sort of went, what? You know, what do you mean, Stranded on the Earth film? This is weird. And basically Mike Bruce, the film director, had done a bunch of filming with Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, and had basically the plan was to put out sort of seven chapters and then the whole film, like a short film, like 40 minutes long. But basically what happened is that they kind of moved on to the next period with these EPs, and sort of so they kind of got cold feet on the project, just because, you know, they'd moved on from that era. The Who Built the Moon era was kind of done, so what's the point of putting out these videos? So someone from that team got in touch with me and sent me over the whole thing, the Stranded on the Earth film, with all the different videos. So there's one for Keep on Reaching, there's one for Be Careful What You Wish For, one for Dead in the Water. There's bits of filming backstage. There's this whole other, there's this whole story, like a Bonnie and Clyde story. Well, more like Bonnie and Bonnie, because it's these two women that kind of go on the run, and it's their relationship as they sort of fall out. It's really good. It's really, really good. It's really annoying that this wasn't sort of released. The timings were off. And it's frustrating that Ignition sort of haven't released it, because, you know, it's a really, really great piece. And it's just so... I feel really sorry for Mike that it's basically, you know, not going to see the light of day, or it might be like on a, you know, if there's a Who Built the Moon kind of deluxe edition in 5 years, it might come out as a DVD connected to that or something. But it really should be released, because it's an absolutely fantastic piece of work. So, yes, anyway, hopefully that will see the light of day at some point. But for now, yeah, I've seen it and it's great. The only other thing really news-wise in the world of Liam, he's released some trainers alongside Adidas. These are new SPZL. I don't know if it's pronounced special, actually, I suppose it probably is. And yeah, I don't really like them. They look very plain and white, and they've just got a picture of Liam on the tongue. I wouldn't wear them. And I've heard that people have gone onto eBay and are trying to charge like 900 quid for these. Well, there you go. If you're silly enough to pay 900 quid for a pair of trainers on eBay, then that's on you. Right, I think that will do it for today. So, final reminder, final plug for this episode, September the 7th, this Saturday coming, I'm going to be there, Arlington Arts Centre. It's just outside Newbury. It's one to drive to rather than get the train to, and it's pretty small and quiet compared to a lot of these other shows. So, if you want to go and get the real chance to have a one-on-one with McGee and with myself, if you're really unusual, then this is a really good one to come to because it's not going to be that busy. It's a relatively small venue. If you want to have your questions answered, this is the best way to do it. So come on down, Arlington Arts Centre, get your tickets, and yeah, I will hopefully see you there next Saturday. Very exciting. But that will do it for this episode of the Oasis podcast. Thanks as always to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is and it is greatly appreciated. As I said, we're going to have some more stuff going up on Patreon very soon, including the full audio from that discussion with Mark from Remember the First Time Pod. Do follow on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com. And please subscribe and review on iTunes. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
And you know, today it's another anniversary. It's like,
I know, anniversary's all over the shop, innit? I'm gonna start crying in a minute. What, since we split up?
Yeah,
tonight. I know. Well, you know what? Like I said before, there's worse places to split up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We could have split up. Yeah. Well, no, it's a lovely place to split up. It's very romantic and very melancholy. You know what I mean? So.
But what happened?
What happened? Well, our kid obviously got abducted by a massive cunt 6 months previous, turned into a massive cunt, and then let everyone know how much of a massive cunt he was that night, and then walked away with the band. So I hope wherever he is in the world, he's sat in a dark room with his head in his hands, and in shame.
When you're saying you had an argument because of fashion advert?
Apparently.
That's really...
That's not true, mate. And if it is fucking true, he should be embarrassed for himself. Because if I did want to advertise my Pretty Green in a programme, so fucking what? Mm. So what? Is it a fucking crime? But it wasn't, because I'd never mentioned the word Pretty Green to him ever. I think the reason why he split away is up is because he wanted it all to himself, because his little ego was... Like, you know what I mean? He couldn't handle sharing the stage with me, you know what I mean? Mm. So he wanted to do his little dance music together. So, like, good luck to him anyway.
And have you seen this weekend at Reading, like Foo Fighters?
Yeah.
Doing the petition.
Yeah.
You're a friend.
I like Dave Gall. I think he's talented. I think he's got good music. I like Taylor. I like them all. I think they're a good band, you know what I mean? And I think they've got good tunes. And
Will you sign their petition?
Or? Will I sign the petition? God, no.
No,
I'll have a selfie with him now.
In fact, with your success today, so you managed to do it. Do you really need now to reform?
I'm not saying we need to reform. I'm just saying we shouldn't have never split up.
Yeah.
But it's looking like that I don't need to reform it, or more than, you know, everyone's coming to the concerts, we're playing Oasis songs, we're having a good time, selling out the concerts, the record's doing well. So looking at it, we don't need to reform it, or I don't need to reform it. But apparently I'm always begging to reform the band, and I'm not begging, I'm just still pissed off that we split up in the first place.
Yeah, still.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, fucking right, man, because I think we should still be together, we'd make good albums. But I'm not, you know, I don't wake up in the morning and go fucking table over, because I'm quite happy doing what I do. It's easy being me. Mm. You know what I mean? There is no big bad boss telling me what to do anymore, or little boss.